Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Danielle.
I'm Shannon.
And we are Push Push, the girlfriend's guide to Formula One racing.
Listen and subscribe to the podcast across all major streaming platforms, including full shows on YouTube.
Welcome back to Push Push. I'm Danielle Davis.
I'm Shannon Kessler.
We are your girlfriend's guide to Formula One racing.
And hopefully we won't have as many penalties today as the USGP was doling out like fucking candy this weekend. Trick or treat, baby. No. Penalty for you. Penalty for you. Except for Charles Leclerc. Penalty for you. Everybody gets penalties.
Sounds like a lot of griping.
Right out of the gate, man. I'm hot. And
people are just so mad at the referees, you know, but
so mad at the refs.
Sometimes you just so are winning. Mad. When you just win, it doesn't really matter.
Well, yeah. Good on you and your Canes and your Charles Leclerc.
I had a big weekend, guys.
You did. Don't want to take away from your victories.
All ups, no downs. Miami Hurricanes, big win. Charles Leclerc, big win. I mean, I'm just going to sit and bask in the glory of being a winner.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I have no notes for Charles. He did great. He deserved driver of the day. He deserved to win that race. He deserved to have his teammate back him up and do a 1-2 punch, the old Ferrari. That is not where the fight in me burns with the heat of a thousand suns.
Okay. Well, before you talk about all the things that have, got you hot and bothered, let's just take a moment and reflect on how sweet, sweet Charles Leclerc, not only did he win, but he went out and won this race.
Yeah, he did.
He went out and won it. He said, get Max and Lando. He said, y'all continue to fight with each other. You guys keep fighting, keep bickering. I'm just going to go, I'm a scooteria around you all. And I'm going to go on and I'm just going to win this race. I'm going to win. And that's what we're going to do.
Yep.
And then he didn't look Carlos back. Came in second. First time a 1-2 Ferrari in Austin since 2006. Let's go.
There we go, Tifosi. I see you out here just being so happy, being so excited. I love it. It was great.
I think that's also three wins this season for one sweet, sweet Charles Leclerc. Put some respect on his name. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
He's great. Only doing iconic shit. Iconic shit only for Charles Leclerc. And yeah, that's it. I mean, just a win, a happiness. We could wrap up the podcast now. Let's wrap it up. Driver of the day, P1. It's all done. We're here. Just Charles.
Well, that's great. And you guys, thanks for tuning in. We really appreciate you being here. And we'll see you next week.
I mean, and I honestly have nothing else to say about it. I mean, I do, but I could. But really, if we wrapped it up, this would be fine.
But it'd be fine. Minute three, and we're done.
I mean, that's what I have to say. So feel free. I know, the weekend was long. The race was full of penalties and emotions and things. But, for others.
It felt like there was a... I feel like the good people of Austin, Texas that got to go to the race and that had a good time, they got their money's worth. I mean, I feel like they paid a pretty penny, but there was so much racing, starting at 1 o'clock on a Friday, and the racing didn't stop until, 4 o'clock or whenever, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, I don't even know, on Sunday. Like, it was a lot. I felt like there was all the racing was happening in Austin this weekend.
It was a lot. There's a lot happening in Austin too. And then the football game.
Yes.
The influencers and the people and the brands and the things.
Activations and the portraits and the cowboy hats. And
so many cowboy hats.
Boy, did we really nail that one last week or what? Like, we said it, delivered.
Yeah, there was a lot of cowboy cosplay.
A lot of cosplay last week. I was like, oh God.
Ferrari boys hit the cowboy hats. Alpine boys hit the cowboy. What?
Yeah, can we please talk about the Alpine of it all?
What?
The race suits looked like the mom that puts their kids in matching pajamas so that she doesn't yell at them. Like, that is what those two Alpine boys look like. Those look like little footy pajamas. And I was like, this isn't cute. Like, whoever designed the race suits, that wasn't it. I did not like them.
Well, they were Indiana Jonesing too, weren't they?
They were.
And doing a lot.
It felt like they were wearing Indiana Jones styled pajamas, and like their little hats were just like, you know, you wear it before bed and then you have to take them off. I hated the whole thing. Like, the livery on the car, I didn't hate. Like, that was like, oh, okay, that's kind of nice. But the everything else, I was like, no, thank you. Nope.
Well, I don't think that they probably really liked it that much either, but you know, they're good soldiers.
I don't think they really like much. I think Pierre likes his girlfriend. I think Ocon likes his girlfriend. I think that's where it starts.
They hate each other.
And they hate their car. So it's like, I don't, you know, I'm just getting paid to be here. I'm fine.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, you know, respect. Yeah. Valtteri did not do as much cowboy cosplay, but you know that, did you see our girl Morgs was with Tiffany?
I did.
Yeah.
I don't know that we've mentioned it on this pod enough, but we are big, big fans of Morgan Riddle. She is the girlfriend of Taylor Fritz, but that's not
she's
so much more. I mean, honestly, Taylor's her boyfriend. Like, that is how we shall refer
to her. Boyfriend, like, plays tennis.
Right, exactly. Like, it's it's not the other way around, so don't get it twisted. she's fantastic. And honestly, I was influenced and I bought a pair of boots that she posted. I was like, oh, I like those.
Oh, the Schultz ones? Schultz ones? Yeah, she was with Tiffany. So, you know, I loved that for her.
What a great crossover. I mean, this is what we've been asking for. You know, give us a wag and give us an influencer that we love. And
I would never have picked those two to, you know, meet up. But I love that.
Yeah, I would have seen more of like a Carmen. I think her and Carmen would have had a good time.
Speaking of wags, and then we'll get back to the race.
Yes, okay.
Mm-hmm. Kelly was there.
I did see Kelly there.
Kelly was there.
Yeah, I did see Kelly.
So she's on going to be on this tour. You know, she's going to go Austin, Mexico, Rio. She's going to go
obviously
home.
She's going to go home to Brazil. Yeah.
So, okay.
She'll have to be in Vegas too. But
so we can go back to the race now.
Okay, back to the race. So sorry.
But I mean, I don't really care. We don't have to talk about the race at all. We already know.
Oh my God. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. There was so much drama in this race. And
first safety car
since
Montreal.
I told Dan this prior to the race starting. He's like, who do you think is going to win? I was like, you know, I think it's going to be a close one, but I feel like we're going to get a safety car because we haven't had a red flag in a long time and we're overdue. And he's like, really? And I was like, yeah, I think we're definitely getting a safety car, but I feel like we're due for a red flag.
Well, you didn't get a red flag though.
We didn't get a red flag, but you know, we got something much worse. We got Lewis out on lap 3 because he beaches the damn Mercedes. And I don't even know. He doesn't know what happened. I don't know what happened. He just said, oops, sorry, guys.
Yeah. And when you watched the replay, you're like, oh, he just lost the back of the car.
He just lost the back of the car. Yeah. And I'm like, that is.
Which is wild.
To Lewis Hamilton. It just doesn't. And I'm like, fuck Austin. You know, like, there's no Danny Rick. Lewis is out on lap 3. I wanted to turn it off at that point. And I was like, I don't fucking care who wins this race. I don't care anymore. But then I was like, stop being so pouty and sit down and watch this damn race.
Lewis losing the back of the car and going into the gravel was a big surprise. I would have never predicted, especially with how successful Lewis is or has been on this track.
Yes.
You know, big winner multiple times. Mercedes had big plans. We talked about it last episode. They were hoping that this would be the weekend where they could really celebrate his over 350 appearances. Now that was 351st. They did not get to celebrate that. The count continues. Yep. But I would have not expected that. And it, I mean, he really wasn't next to anybody. He just lost the back of the car. It was
a Lewis Hamilton mistake. And
yeah, which you don't see very often.
They're few and far between. Exactly. So that was a hard pill to swallow. And I didn't love that. I mean, we had George starting from pit lane. And I was like, oh, what a bleak day to be a Mercedes fan at this point. Because, you know, you don't have a crystal ball. You don't know what's going to happen in the future. You can't see what's going to go down. But
George, in Lewis's words, did have a mega drive.
He did have a mega drive. He finished in P6. He got around Sergio Perez and says, not today, sir. Let me get out here and do it. And honestly, thank you, George. Thank you, Sir George. Not Sir George. George Russell.
He's not Sir. He's just little baby George still.
Too much respect on that name. My bad.
I was going to say, you've really come a long way if you're knighting him now.
So. Oh, no. Absolutely not. No, no. I'm not going to do that. So I was happy. And honestly, he drove great. Again, not quite sure how George gets a 5-second penalty for knocking Valtteri off the track. But then Max knocks Lando off the track, and then Lando gets the 5-second penalty. But we'll get there. We'll get there.
Oh, Shannon. You know, I'm on my Max. I'm in my Max apologist era.
You really are. I know. And this is.
And I'm going to go to bat for him on this one. But before we get to that, how about. So you mentioned George going around Sergio. Man, it's tough times out there for Checo.
It really is. They are just trying to paint the picture as hard as they can that, like, he is not coming back no matter what. Like, Sergio is done at Red Bull, and it'll be his own demise, because they're just going to hit the tapes in the you know, when it's time for the review at the end of the season, and they're going to bring up Austin, and they're going to be like, this is why we can't let you come back to Red Bull. Like, they're just collecting data at this point.
Yeah, I mean, Austin's in the mix. I don't think maybe that's the key one they're pointing to, but Liam Lawson coming from, I know you have thoughts about him. I really am neutral on him. I could care less either way, but he's coming from the back of the pack too. I mean, didn't get past Sergio, but, you know, came in the cash cab from the back of the pack and get some points.
Yeah. You know. Finished in the points, which, again, he had a great race. I'm not taking anything away from Liam Lawson. I'm honestly going to make a comment that's probably going to get me in trouble, and that's fine. But, like, I figured out, like, the other last week we posted a picture of Liam in a cowboy hat, and I was like, something's not right. Like, what is it about this photo that I don't love? And then we actually had somebody in the DMs was like, it's because we can't see his hair. His hair is what's giving him power. And I was like, oh, you're right. Like, I was like, Liam looks so different when he's, you know, he's got great hair. And it, you know, it's just looks, and I was like, something in this cowboy hat, I'm like, it's not it for me. And this girl was like, yeah, it's because he's got great hair, and it's the hair. And I was like, yes, it is.
Okay. Well,
now I say that because we have seen drivers who have great hair do great on the grid. Liam is just giving fuel to that fire because he's got good hair and he did great on the grid.
I was like, where's she going with this one?
Okay, I was going to land the plane eventually.
So he comes from the back. I mean, he finishes in the points. People, obviously, a lot of rumbling that he's, you know, got his sights set on Checo's car. We can hit on this later, but apparently Red Bull is also hinting at a long overdue and awaited Yuki Tsunoda F1 test. So he's in line for that Red Bull test. You know, the testing is happening, and Checo, it's not looking, the future's not looking so bright.
Yeah.
But who knows, Mexico, he could, like, I mean, he won't, but he could.
I'd love it. Nothing would make me happier than seeing Checo win, you know, his last race, you know, in a Red Bull, win in Mexico. We've had great, you know, the drivers have done great with their home countries and winning races. He had Lewis in Silverstone, Charles in Monaco.
Max. Like,
Max didn't win any of his home races this year.
He did it this year?
Mm-mm. Oh. No, which was surprising, but also, like, yeah. It's easy to assume that, I know. But you know, so let's.
He won some other people's home races.
So yeah, it's fine. Yeah. So it's like, oh, and everywhere. So, you know, it's, I would love that for Checo, but we obviously know that the powers that be at Red Bull will never.
No.
They won't let that
Helmet
happen.
Marco will be doing some tomfoolery to make sure that that doesn't happen. But
yeah, he'll put a nail in a tire real fast.
Yeah, but apparently Yuki is getting the, it's hinted. So it hasn't happened yet. So this is just rumor and conjecture, but.
That Red Bull has to make, like, are they the ones like planning all these stories in the media? Because Christian's on restriction, he's still grounded and still not allowed to talk to anybody with a microphone.
All of them have their people leaking stuff and doing all the things.
I just feel like it like all roads lead back to Red Bull when it comes to all this stuff, and it's like,
I mean, I think they're all playing the game. I think Red Bull just probably maybe is the best at it, or the most prolific, maybe the most consistent. Who knows?
Yeah.
But can we just also say something that it's too late now, and maybe we could start this for next year. But if you were, wanting to do a ladder bet, and just anytime Lando is in P1 and you want to make sure that you don't bet that he could be making some money, because
really
it happens
could.
Again.
And
he even had a good start too. That's the thing.
He had a great jump.
But
he did have a great jump. But Max takes that lunge in the first corner, and it's like, well, there you go. Leaves that door wide open for Charles Leclerc, and he says, "See ya, suckers."
I mean,
damn.
He did a zip zap zop on all of them,
and it was
kind
great.
Of similar what to George did that one race as well. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys
fight it out. You're making it too easy for the rest of us. Thank you.
Distract each other.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot that goes on with Lando being on pole, because I mean, obviously he had to win to get that position, but it's like, what happens that he just can't seem to connect the dots that you're in front, you should stay in front.
Well, I think some people just have different talents. Like, we talk about the drivers who are better at street races. We talk about the drivers who are better at, defending. Like, we always talk about how, Alonso and George are so good at defending. There's all these drivers that have, your specialties, just like in any other sport. And Lando is great, but at so many things, the start is just not his forte.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
And it's Max's forte. I mean, he's certainly quite good, quite adept at it.
Yeah.
I think Charles is maybe not his best, but I think Charles is great at kind of like reading the scene and making, I think Charles makes really decisive movements. Not sometimes that can be a detriment, but I think like when he makes a decision to do something, he kind of goes for it.
Yeah.
He doesn't waver on it. And so I think he kind of like read the room and made that choice, where some drivers might not have been like quite as quick.
And I mean, I think they talk about this, in one of the earlier seasons of Drive to Survive, but like starting from second place is actually a better place to start than first, because you do get that drag from the car in front of you. And it does make it easier to overtake if you're behind someone that doesn't consistently go off the gate. So,
He needs to hit the sim.
I was just going to say, is that something you can even work on in the sim? Like, start something that like, you can do?
I'm sure. I'm just like, don't race anything past like the second lap. Just like start the race. It's like, take the game out, blow on it, put it back in. Just like keep running the starts.
Yeah.
I don't know. But once again, and I say this with love for Lando, but
I know
not a ton of love, but.
And this is, I'm kind of at that point where this was the race for me that was going to decide who was going to
win the world championship.
And Max is like, I'm going to go ahead and take that. So, I mean, you said it before, you think Max is going to do it. I'm going to have to agree with you, because I don't see how, unless he just doesn't finish for the next, five races, like
he has some sort of wreck and gets totally taken out, like no points.
There's 57 points between them now, and I mean, could Lando do it? I think mathematically it's still possible, but like the situations would have to be so unique for five more races that I just don't see how that's possible. Especially given that the FIA really just likes to give Max the benefit of every doubt. So,
okay, so let's choose. We are obviously choosing our fighters in this Max and Lando bit, but I'm going to say I think that Max was in the right on this one. And honestly, I'm going to go back on, I'm going to fall on this again, the sword again of McLaren making poor decisions when it comes to trying to get Lando the points.
Yes.
If they had just swapped the positions right after that happened, he would have probably taken the position back and been fine. Like, you just do that nonsense bullshit where you let him go around and then you just like get right back around him, you know? And like, that's what he could have probably done. Instead, they wanted to fight it out. They, you know, thought that they were smarter than everybody and you know, it didn't work out that way. And then he couldn't get far enough ahead and the 5 second penalty, boom, back underneath them. I mean, that was an easy way to keep your points.
I agree with you for in that sense of this is McLaren's fault. This was if you needed to give it back, you should have done it. And I agree with that. And what they were waiting for, which I also understand, is that they were like, we think this is Max's fault because Max did hit the apex, but did not leave the racing room, which in the rules, it says you have to do. He did not leave the room, which should have been a penalty. Given that is how they gave it to George, who did the same thing to Bottas. So it's
I get that.
So like, but this is my thing with the FIA. It drives me so batshit crazy. If you have rules, you need to enforce them consistently. Same way. Not just pick and fucking choose how you're going to dole these things out. That's not why the rules exist. The rules exist to keep it consistent. So if you're not going to be consistent with one, then why have the rule? Like, why have it? Like, that's what I don't get.
Well, and I agree with that, especially if you're on the same race and like it's the same set of stewards who are making these decisions, because I do think there's going to be some variation, just like a referee or something like that. There's going to be variation from like game to game, from person to person, from race to race. But I do think in this race where you had honestly like a very similar situation occur that this, but honestly, McLaren should have just swapped the position, just giving it back real quick and then just taking it back again. Like you're still in the DRS, like just go back, take it back.
You think they would have had a better fighting chance, I think, if they just would have swapped positions and said, okay, got it. But like, again, I understand they're like, no, because we didn't think we were in the wrong in that situation. Okay. And I get it. This is like what, 2 laps, 3 laps to go? So like there's not enough. It's like the timing on that. There's not a lot of time. And I understand you're trying to like, these are again, they're making split second decisions that are, you know, way beyond our pay grade. Like I totally understand that too, but it's the consistency of it that it just, I don't understand why you have the rules if you don't enforce them consistently across the board.
Well,
that's my argument. So
I agree with that. I'm just saying on this one, I do think that Max had I think that Max was in the right on this one. And I also think McLaren should have just made the easy choice, but they didn't. And they got that 5 second penalty and swapped them positions.
Yeah. Well, but this is again, I think we could have this argument all season long. It's like, I do feel like Max gets away because he's been such a defensive driver from the beginning. And it's like, well, that's fine. But then if somebody else is driving defensively, why is the penalty not match for both drivers? Because you have George who drives, you know, defensively, but he's getting dinged for it. Max who's driving defensively, but he's getting rewarded for it. So, and there was,
I also think though, Max has earned a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. I mean, you're the world champion. Like you don't think Lewis got some calls when he was out?
Yeah.
I'm just saying like, that's what kind of happens when you're the top dog, you get kind of the, if it's a 50-50 tie, they're usually probably going to go to the guy that's like the defending world champion. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying, I think that like, you know, sometimes that's how he ends up getting those calls because he's just.
I know, but it's like, but it's almost like he gets rewarded for them. And then that's, I feel like that's where, I don't feel like that's right. Like you're a defensive driver and you're like, okay, well, you're still not following the rules and yet you get rewarded for not following the rules. How is that fair?
Yeah, I think on this one, I mean, I think there's been some other more egregious Max, like not following the rules. On this one, I think it's kind of a more of a, like a, it's a little bit more detailed. I mean, he was, they were racing. He had the racing line.
But he also pushed him wide. Like push him wide, you have to leave the space. Max even says it himself. He's like, you didn't leave me any room. And it's like, he didn't leave you room, motherfucker. You're the one that didn't leave him room. That's what the having the line means. You gotta leave him room.
I'm on team Max on this one.
No, that's, I mean, I get it, but no.
I just think that he had the line on it, and I think Lando made the choice to go around him on the outside. So that's
he had to go around him on the outside because Max didn't leave him the space.
I think Max wasn't like had the line and had the clear, like he was coming from the front of the pack. Like Lando had to make the choice. I think it's honestly, I'm on Max's team on this one.
Well, I still disagree. I mean, but I did hear like the,
and the commentator said it was Max. I mean, it wasn't Max's fault.
Well, I think the penalty came from the fact that Lando had exceeded track limits 3 times. And like, that's where they decided the penalty should come into play. So like, regardless of who had the racing line and regardless of how that happened, he was getting the penalty because of track, like leaving the track 3 times. So I'm like, okay, well, and if that's the argument, if that's the case, then that's black and white. Got it. But I still don't think that they treated that situation as consistently as they have treated other situations with other drivers.
Well, again, like it's certain people just get certain calls. I mean, Patrick Mahomes gets every single call. Tom Brady got every single call. Like when you're the top dog, you get them calls. Like that's how it works.
I hate it.
I mean, I agree. I'm just saying, I think that sometimes people like you've earned kind of the.
You've earned the right to cheat. Okay, that's great. Love that.
Not the right to cheat, but like if it's a 50-50, they're going to lean towards the guy who's, you know, the defending world champion.
Well, I don't think it helped, in my opinion. The panning at the end of the race when Max gets out of the car and the first person he talks to is the director of the FIA.
Yeah, but that guy came up and talked to him. I mean, he walked up to him.
Yeah. Still don't think that should be a conversation you should be having right after a race. Like do that behind closed doors so people like me can't speculate what the fuck you're talking about. I mean, like do it behind closed doors is all I'm asking. You don't need to put that on television. I don't need to see it because it just makes it deeper for me to be like, oh, this is fucking rigged.
I mean, you know that I'm the queen of a conspiracy theory. I keep my tinfoil hat, you know, tucked underneath my desk, but I think that he was kind of just there.
If there's one thing I have learned in this sport, it's nothing is coincidental. Okay. Like everything has a meaning. You can't say, Max is sitting here going like this with his hands. And like, you're not talking about the same thing. We're all wondering like, what the fuck are you two talking about? We know what you're talking about. You're talking about that last corner. That was bullshit. And you know it.
I mean, they talked about it in the cool down room too. Mm-hmm. Is it bullshit that they talked about it in there too?
No, but you can't talk about it with the director right after the race. That's bullshit.
All right. Well,
I hate it. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and what burns me so much about this is I feel like once again, it takes away from Charles Leclerc's victory. Like, I just feel like this.
Oh, I don't think it took away from anything about Charles Leclerc.
Birthday weekend. He wins the race. So.
Oh, I don't think it took away from anything. I mean, as a Charles Leclerc fan, I don't think it took away from anything.
No, you were
me.
Fine. You were like, I don't care.
I don't think it took away from anything from him. He seemed quite happy. Like, y'all have fun. Find a way back there. I don't know. Figure it out. Not my problem. I was winning. Yeah. Me and Carlos up here in 1-2. Y'all figure out 3-4. That's not our problem today. I mean.
Back to my earlier comment. Great hair. Doing great on the grid.
Yeah.
Look at those two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean. I'm just saying, I don't think it took away from anything. Charles, I mean, he still got driver of the day. Like, I mean.
Yeah, he did. And you're going to be very surprised when I tell you who my driver of the day is.
I'm probably not. Unless it's somebody we haven't even mentioned already.
No, we've mentioned him.
Okay, so.
It's just surprising because my driver today is going to George Russell.
I knew you were going
to
say that.
From pit lane to sixth place. Like, that's impressive. That is impressive.
The way you waffle on George Russell is wild.
Okay, I can be, I don't like him, but I can appreciate good racing when I see good racing. Like, he did a great drive. I'm going to give him credit for doing a great drive. Doesn't mean I like him. I've not waffled on the fact that I'm still not a fan.
It sounds like maybe you're kind of a fan.
My God, no, you're so annoying. I am not a fan. It's just, he did a good thing and I'm giving him a pat on the back. You know, last time he was like, hey guys, does anybody want to tell me how great I am? Like on the radio.
Well, you're like, here I am.
There you go, George. Good job.
This Ferrari 1-2 has also made the constructors a little bit more interesting. Ooh, I mean, everything's a little bit more interesting. I mean, Charles is close. He's in the, obviously he's top three. So like, that's not, he ain't going to win, but I think that Ferrari, you know, has a real chance. If we keep this up right now, McLaren right now, the constructors standings are as of October 20th, McLaren 544, Red Bull 504, Ferrari 496. I mean,
dang.
This is a real three-way battle.
This is going to be interesting.
Yeah, this is a real three-way battle. I think that, you know,
no, go ahead.
Keep up the momentum to Fosse, because another really strong finish like that, and you know, we could be leapfrogging some Red Bull. You know, poor Max out here trying to do this all by himself. Checo's not really getting him a lot of, he's really slacking on the points.
They're like, I'm not giving you anything. So, okay. I needed to find out, like, what is the difference in prize money? Okay. And this is the prize money for 2023 Constructors Championship as follows. First place, you get $140 million. Second place, you get $131 million. Third place is $122 million. And then
it drops off.
Yeah. Like fourth is $113, fifth is $104, sixth is $95, seventh is $87. So pretty, I mean, second and third, when it comes to like Ferrari and Red Bull, like, I mean, all three of those. Yes, it's a lot of money, but I don't think for any of those teams that's like.
It's going to be like, I mean, I don't think
life changing.
No.
Career changing, season changing money.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be the difference in like a new era of any of these teams.
Now, it could be for Haas, but you know, not for. Jink finally pay off that debt to the Russian oligarchs, but you know.
Also in the drivers, Verstappen is at 354, Lando's at 297, Charles is at 275. I'm just saying.
I mean, it's got potential.
Keep up the momentum. And Charles said, like, he came out and saw him talking. He's like, we're in the hunt for this. Like, we want to win the constructors. So right. Watch out.
Get out there. Get out there and do it, Charles. Get out there and do it.
So, you know, be on the lookout because we're here. We're ready for this little stint. This little North American, South American jaunt.
Love it.
There's a lot of articles about that, but you know, I won't get into the details, but basically we've talked to the points and it's possible. So we're not catching Max, so we can just all, again.
And that's, again, some very unique things would have to happen five times in a row. And that's just not how unique things work.
No.
No.
But, Fred says we're bringing more upgrades, you know, like we're doing it all.
Love it.
He hints at a hidden upgrade.
Ooh. So, what are we hiding? What are we hiding, Fred?
I don't know what we're hiding.
What are we doing?
He said that he has hinted at internal Ferrari upgrades that allowed it to avoid the mess that some F1 teams are experiencing with new parts. So,
Interesting.
I don't know. but we're out here grinding and ready.
Love it.
We are going to box and take a quick break. So we will be right back.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Like the show? Looking for more Formula One tea? Leave us a review on any platform.
Or comment on YouTube with your thoughts or topics, any questions, or F1 hot gossip you'd like to discuss.
Before we put this race to bed, two things. One, I can't do this because I'm not a computer-y kind of person, but like, could somebody please just give us a format where we could just type in and find out how many penalties are doled out per race? Like, could we just get like a spreadsheet? Because I'm just curious from race to race, what kind of penalties are accumulated? Because as someone, I'm curious.
I bet somebody has a spreadsheet out there that's already tracking that.
Well, if somebody's tracking and you listen to the pod, please send it to f1pushpush@gmail.com. Thank you so much. Because your girls, I'm out here trying to Google this and I'm like, I can't find a penalty, but I want to see. And my second question of the day is, how on earth did we get to a podium celebration and we got so far along and yet we didn't get the right
trophies? Yeah, the trophies were a whole mess, huh? But it's because they were like, they were accused of ripping somebody else's design off, I believe.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. Shouldn't that have been figured out prior to the weekend? And like, you should have had enough time to get a plan B in place. But like, whoever's job that was, you dropped the ball on it. But I'm very curious, like, how long have you known that this was potentially like copyright infringement, and how long? I have so many questions that why it took.
Also, couldn't somebody just like run out to like a silver, you know, like one of those fancy places where you buy wedding presents and just get like three plates and get them like those silver, like pewter, you know, get three of those beautiful little like, you know, plates and get one monogrammed or something, you know, get some engraving going, some light engraving. I feel like we could have done better. We could have like in a pinch. Somebody could have figured something out.
And I know that you, but this is also where it's like, do we have to reinvent?
Well, I mean, they gave him a wheel.
True. That Carlos dropped
just
and I was
gave him like just some loose wheels.
Just gave it. Here's a small Pirelli. I have with it as you wish. But like, I just feel like if you're going to be hosting the event, which you all know years in advance, you also need to have your trophy situation figured out, locked and loaded, like a year in advance. Like, this just seems like this was a last minute, like, oh shit, by the way, guys, I forgot to tell you, we actually couldn't do that design. And it's like, what do you mean you couldn't do the design? I'm like, yeah, sorry you missed that memo, but like.
Also, couldn't they just like run it back to whatever they had last year? Like, why do we have to do a new one every single year either?
I don't understand. It needs to be one. I stand by this. Like, this is your trophy. Like, this is what you put your name on.
It's a sporting event. Like, every iconic sporting event just has the same trophy.
Yeah. The Super Bowl doesn't change their trophy. The Stanley Cup doesn't change their trophy. Wimbledon doesn't change their trophy. It's the same thing. Like, just keep it the same. Stop trying to outdo each other. This is not a pissing contest of who has the best trophy.
Yeah.
Just give them the damn trophy. And
we can leave the innovation out of trophies.
Right. Put it in your car. You want to be innovative? Put it in your damn car.
I mean, that one that lit up was kind of cool, but like, we can leave the innovation out of trophies. It's not like that big of a deal.
It's fine. Yeah.
Like, honestly, what the F. the Coda should do is take a page out of the Miami Louisville trophy, the Howard Schnellenberger trophy that we have. It's just a set of boots. Just give these guys a set of gold boots. That's what the Miami Louisville one is. It's in honor of Howard Schnellenberger. Yeah. He always wore cowboy boots. Just get a gold boot and just give them that. We can leave the innovation out of trophies. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, you guys love the play on Texas. So there you go.
Or golden hat. Just keep it simple. We don't need to do too much. It feels like we're just doing too much for the sake of
it.
And then clearly we did so much that we were ripping someone else's design off and we have a copyright infringement issue. So just let's just take a boot. Let's just make it a hat. Like, it doesn't need to be that deep. Or just make it a trophy. Can we just have trophies?
Yeah. That's
also, speaking of trophies, they letting people on the track too early too.
Ooh, yeah. Coda's being like the bad boy of the race circuit this year. Like, they're in detention.
Yeah, they got fined a lot of euros.
A lot, like 500,000 euros.
500,000 euros for letting fans on the track too early, but they don't have to pay. They get 350,000 euros. Are basically like, you don't have to pay that as long as you don't do it again. For 2026,
they're like, as long as we can see that your safety protocols have improved, then you don't have to pay the
rest of
that.
That's a big fine, though.
That is,
but they can afford it because that place is huge and making so much money.
The place is huge, and there's so many people. Although I did think, and I don't know if you saw this or not too, but like, I remember the past 2 years, like when the camera would pan over the crowd and over like the spaces. I don't remember seeing so much empty space, and I don't know if they've made spaces bigger this year at Coda, but there were quite a few times where I was like, that just looks like there should be more people. And I'm not talking like in the stands. I know like the hill was like packed, and that was like a whole new level. And I don't know if all those people just like on Sunday, this is where we're going to go. I'm not sure. But like, I just remember seeing quite a bit of open space at Coda that I'm like, I don't recall ever seeing that much open space where there weren't that many
people. I didn't pay attention that closely to that.
Yeah. And I don't know, like, I can't tell you like what corners it was or whatnot, but I just remember being like, that is surprising to me that it's not wall to wall.
Well, that hill looked like a nightmare.
I was like, that is not for me.
There were so many people there.
So many.
And if you went to Coda, like, let us know. We want to hear how it was, what you thought.
Yeah. And if you went, who waved the
Shannon
checkered flag?
Needs to know. We can't find it.
I need to know. I can't find it. I don't know why. I mean, it shouldn't be that hard to figure this out. But like, I have for the past 2 days been trying to figure this out and I cannot find it. They didn't show because we were watching the flag go like this, you know, but like they didn't show who it was that was doing it.
It did say that the Hawk Tua girl was set to do it, but I don't think.
But I also heard that was a rumor. And like, that was never official.
Yeah. I mean, that was
unless that's like a PR being like, oh, we got too much flack for this. Like, we can't have her do it. I don't really know.
But then maybe I'm getting a lot of conflicting Hawk Tua rumors, but no one has clearly said who it was. Maybe maybe it was going to be her. And then like, they were like, got so much backlash that they were like, no, we're not doing her. I don't know. And then nobody did it.
That kind of feels like.
I mean, somebody had to do it, but maybe it was just like a regular racing.
I don't know.
Notable figure, just a regular race official.
Yeah. Interesting. Again, I like to. Yeah, that's another spreadsheet. If somebody could add that to the same penalty spreadsheet, that would be great.
Yeah, I can't. All I can really find is that Tim Cook did it a couple years ago and everybody hated it. But one of the only things. It is an elusive fact you cannot find. I think maybe it was just a normie. You know.
Well, let me know who the normie was. Also, thank you to Katie Cavander from our pit crew, I'd seen this reel about a place at Coda where you could go and write Daniel Ricciardo, like,
I knew we were going to get to this.
And they'll send it to him. And I was like, oh my gosh, how precious. I love this so much. And I was like, oh my gosh, I want to know, where can I send it? And Katie sent me a screenshot because she was there and she's like, this is the picture that I took. And then another one of our pit crew people sent me a link that you can send him a message via this link. So thank you to the pit crew who come in and supporting, you know, my love letters to Daniel.
I'm going to keep my opinions on that to myself.
I would appreciate that. Thank you, Daniel. It's so
kind
of you.
I'm going to be generous and magnanimous because my man took the flag, and just keep how I feel about that station to myself.
I appreciate
that. But we did call. He wasn't going to show up. He didn't show up. He didn't get the keys to the city there. Yeah. I'm sure they'll do it at some other thing.
Yeah. I will say that this Enchanté pop-up was probably one of my favorites. Like, it was like a... I think it's like a service shop or whatever, but like they had like the two wrenches. Oh, this is so good. Like, that felt very on brand with, you know, racing and service. And I don't know. I thought that was super clever. And I always think that they do a clever job with the Enchanté merch, but this one was really nice. I enjoyed it.
Well, are you going to get anything from it?
I'm probably not. No, no. I'm on a spending freeze.
No new merch for me right now until Sweet Charles.
I'm saving up for
all. He won the championship. That's what I'm waiting for. Yeah. No, not really.
I'm saving up for when I have to buy a lot of red 44 stuff. So,
well, we're waiting for you.
You know, there's that beautiful red Ferrari sweater that is too much money to. But I'm like. Ooh.
Oh, yeah, that one Intarsia sweater. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's so pretty. I'm like, do I need it?
No, you don't need it.
Don't need it.
You don't even really want it. You just, like, think you want it.
I know, because I feel like Lewis would want me to have it. He's like,
should we make red push sweatshirts? You're wearing a push sweatshirt right now. And I know you're planning to post about doing some, like, Venmoing for the sweatshirt. So maybe we should, red is one of our colors, you know, maybe we should do a red version.
I think we should do a red launch next season.
Yeah.
We'll launch it for the red 44 era.
Well, I'm sure we will launch it. Everyone's like listening.
Yeah. Or like, we've been listening for 3 years about your dumb sweatshirt.
They're like, you are liars. Yeah, we are.
We are liars. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, well, you already said that George Russell was your driver of the day. So,
yes.
Do you want to say who's P1 for you?
Let's see. P1 is going to go to Ferrari because they had a great weekend. They did great. You know, I think they also handled the cowboy cosplay the best out of everybody. They looked great. I don't know. It just felt like it was old school Charles and Carlos this weekend. And I don't know why, but like, I felt like I haven't seen like that. I mean, they've always had good chemistry, but this just felt very genuine this weekend.
Well, and Carlos in his interview afterwards, did you hear him talking? He's like, I was really happy for the team and for like this experience here at Code. Like,
yeah,
he was kind of a little reflective.
Yeah. So it felt, I don't know. It just felt very heartfelt, very genuine this weekend from start to finish. So. Ferrari, you get my P1.
Well, my driver of the day obviously goes to Charles Leclerc.
Obviously.
And my P1 goes to Carlos Sainz and, you know, the whole Tifosi.
Yay!
But I think that I agree. I was thrilled. I love when they're good. Like, when they're good, they're great. Yeah. And the chemistry is 10 out of 10. I think they both had great weekends. I think they both drove well. I think the upgrades came through. I think... the strategy is finally getting a little bit more sound, actually a lot more sound.
Yeah.
It's not quite as, you know, desperate times for us in the Tifosi. And that feels nice.
It does. And I, there seems to be a lot more, like, less friction.
Camaraderie. Between,
at like strategy staff and the drivers.
Yeah.
For a while, it was like, no, this is the decision we're making for you guys. And the drivers were like, but we're the ones driving the car and we'll tell you that that is not going to work right now.
Yeah.
So I feel like they're finally listening to the drivers, and that also translates.
Yeah, I think they're all kind of on the same page. And I think that's a credit to Fred, is that he's got them all rowing in the same direction.
Yes.
Which is nice. And I think he does a good job of bridging, or whoever he has in place, but also him, has a good job of bridging the gap between that strategy, engineering, you know, garage side of things, and the teams, like the drivers and stuff. So, yeah. Did you also see that cousin Carlos was in attendance?
I did not see cousin Carlos.
He was. Yeah, he was there. I saw when Charles went over to like the big wall of all the mechanics and the whole the whole squad. Cousin Carlos was peeking his little head in there.
Was he in a puffer vest?
I do not think he was in a puffer vest. He was in a polo. You know, he was in a nice.
Yeah, always in a collar.
But I did not see a puffer vest. You know, he was smushed up in between a lot of guys. So. Unclear on his layers, but I mean, he may have had one in the morning. I wouldn't doubt that he started the day with a light layer.
Yeah,
but
I could see that.
But cousin Carlos was in attendance, so it was nice to have eyes on him. It felt like the gang was really all back together.
Oh, it's man.
Yeah, so that was very nice. But yeah, I thought Coda was kind of a lot, as I have many times aired my opinion on the sprint race, but I think the ultimate race was obviously the best of the weekend. So,
yeah, it was great. We had a lot of wheel to wheel combat, you know, some suspenseful battles, crazy penalties, aplenty.
Also justice for Haas. Like the Hulk is just doing light work in the middle, and like justice for him for just like staying consistent.
Agreed. And did you see sweet little Laura?
No, that little sweet angel baby.
Laura Magnuson.
She's getting so big, probably.
So big. She's so big. But she was in the garage and she was just being the cutest little thing. Just love her.
Of course she was. I hope she takes up racing. I put that little nugget in a cart and let's get her on the track.
I mean, Susie's waiting for you. She's waiting for her girl.
Get her in there.
Get her in.
She's ready. I mean, she could probably drive before she walk, you know, just put her
probably in like so cute.
She knows all the it's part of her life, you know.
Yes.
I'm so excited. Part of our life, we get another race this weekend.
I know, this is, and we love Mexico. Like, they just do it so grand. So
I can't
beautiful.
Wait for the F1 song.
The mariachi band remix. Oh, I love it. We get all the Dia de los Muertos, all the skeletons. It's going to be so good.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited. I'm so excited for Mexico. I'm excited for Papa Perez to be on the scene. Maybe we'll get him mouthing off a little on the mic. And I'm interested to see how the race being in Mexico and this like really tumultuous time for Checo plays out. Like, are we in the media? What kind of backroom dealings are we going to have in this week that maybe come to light next week on Checo? Like, right now we're getting rumblings of, you know, he's out, he's done. But like, are we going to Mexico City and then coming out with like a whole new game plan? Possibly.
Possibly. You never know. I mean, that you cannot tarnish that man's name in Mexico, because they will burn you down.
Money talks. And maybe some people will show up with the money.
Yeah. What's his name?
Carlos Slim.
Yeah. Carlos Slim. Gonna be like, not in my country. I will pull the plug on your viewership.
I mean, I could see some background, you know, some background dealings happening while they're in Mexico City. So who knows what the saga of Sergio continues.
I'm just, Red Bull just needs to tread lightly, you know.
Yeah.
Tread lightly.
Do you want to do any quick predictions for this weekend before we wrap things up?
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that we don't have another repeat of last year where Sergio DNF'd at his home race, because that was bleak. I do feel like I see a Red Bull on the podium. I think we're going to get a McLaren. I think we're going to see Lando on the podium, but I also think we'll have a Ferrari. So
I think Lando wins this one.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. I think Lando wins. I think we get a Ferrari. I think it's the same. I think it's a it's our top three. I think it's Max, Lando, Charles, but I think the order is a little shuffle. Yeah. I think it's going to go Lando, maybe Charles, Max.
Okay. Okay. I see that.
But
I see that.
And then I think that we have kind of the same three knocking on the door to get in. I think it's, you know, Oscar, George, and,
Perez.
Carlos. No.
Carlos. Okay. Okay.
I think Perez, I think he has a better race, but I don't know necessarily know if it's.
I think, I feel like I see Perez finishing top five.
Oh, you do?
I do. Yeah. So
I could foresee him having some sort of issue in qualifying again, and then just having a hard time getting back up to place. But I mean, who knows? You never know in Mexico. It's his home race. So,
yeah, I mean, I would love nothing more than Sergio to get a win.
Also, we get to see those dope hydraulic systems with the.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Mexico is the best podium celebration. It's the best.
And that whole stadium setup. It's so freaking cool.
So good. Yeah. They really do it right there. I love it.
It's such like a party after at the end.
Yeah.
I feel like most of them, it's just like you're running onto it. Theirs, it feels like a real.
Yes.
Like you're in the round there. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
I agree. I love it.
Okay. Well, you know what I love?
What do you love, Danielle?
One, I love when you rate and review the podcast, wherever you listen to them. I also love when when I'm coming out of a Charles Leclerc win. And when I'm coming out of a Charles Leclerc win, you know, I'm usually sharing a lot of Charles Leclerc content over on social. I get real rejuvenated in the socials. So you should be following us at F1 Push Push. Also, WTF Mercedes stealing our.
We didn't even talk about that.
I know. Well,
they didn't even ask.
They didn't even ask.
They didn't even ask. I can't believe they put a documentary.
How dare.
How dare them with WhatsApp, and they have the audacity to call it Push Push.
Do you think they looked up and were like, oh, should we get this handle? And it was already claimed by these two dum-dums.
They were like, they're fine. Like, you could Push Push with ours. It's good.
Feel free to come and offer us something for
it. Yeah, you know, it would have been nice just to be like, hey, girls, see what you're doing. Just letting you know we're going to be taking this back. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, what the hell? Yeah, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at F1 Push Push. You can now listen, or you can also now watch the podcast if you want to see our smiling faces and, you know, us rolling our eyes at each other and just being silly. Also, if you want to see the F1 merch, you can watch us on YouTube / the State of Louisville. We are proud members of the State of Louisville Podcast Network. You know, this week I had to kind of take a back seat from that because, you know, we got some canes over here. But but you can watch us and you can catch up on all of their content over on YouTube. And yeah, if you want to leave a comment there, if you want to leave a question, if you want to rate and review the podcast, wherever you enjoy podcasts, there's honestly nothing that could make me happier than this moment of Charles Leclerc getting his third win, but it could compare. And until next time, push, push.